lacking self-control, the Holy Ghost will help you control.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, yeah. You don't have to be a Pharisee. You don't have to be like this. You don't have to act one way. Live another. Said, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and within the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. I don't know of anybody that goes and washes their dishes and just cleans the outside and leaves all the gunk on the inside. That's gross. It's disgusting.
Right.
If we won't do it with those pots and pans that we cook in, why would we do it with our own soul?
Right.
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, and are within full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. That word uncleanness means impurity physically and morally, full of lustful, luxurious, wanted living. Impure motives. Impure motives. Your motive ain't right for what you're doing. Your motive ain't right for what you're acting like. And God calls it uncleanness. Hypocrisy. He says, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Hypocrisy is the acting under a feigned part. Deceit. Get this, the definition for hypocrisy says condemnation. Wow. Wow. A hypocrite condemns others. Hold on. They are disassembling. They are shaming others as a cover up.
Hallelujah.
I hope you're kidding the spirit of what I'm trying to preach. As a cover up, you condemn somebody else because you want your own sin to be pushed aside.
Right.
You're disassembling somebody else. As a cover up for your own sin, for your own despicable, nasty wickedness. And so you tear down somebody else so you don't look as bad. Has our love waxed cold? Has our love waxed cold? Iniquity is self-willed, self-centered, without law, violation of divine law, out of bounds. I'm wrapping things up. 1 John 3:16 said, hereby perceive we the love of God. Here we have this understanding, this opening up of our mind. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us. That we ought. This word ought means that you are under obligation. You got it? You are under obligation. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I am under. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Hereby perceive we the love of God, that I understand the massive, wonderful things of the love of God. And because I understand it, I am under obligation to literally lay down, submit my life. Now, I got beside myself here, and I wanted to see what the entire meaning of brethren was. And it says, brethren, literally or figuratively, near or remote, whether born of the same two parents or only one of the same father or mother. having the same, hear me, this is the definition, having the same national ancestors, belonging to the same people or countrymen. So this is a pretty broad expansion of when we say brother. Because if we say brother, that's only my brother in Oregon, Luke. I don't have to do this for nobody else. Okay, well, I'll extend it to the brethren in the church. I'll extend it to the fellow believers of the church. He said, your countrymen.
Yeah.
I know this is kind of a little bit whack here. But y'all don't know how much I love you. And I look out across you, and I see all these different nationalities. But really, I think, man, this is all my countrymen. We're all Americans. All different walks of life. All different stuff. But I love you. It said, any fellow or man or woman, an associate, listen here. I didn't write this definition. It says, an associate of employment or of office. That's your work person.
Right.
Hear me? Hear me? It's your work person. Fellow believer. It finally gets the fellow believer. United by the bond of affection. So here you are. Here you are in this setting of scripture that says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to. We are under obligation to lay down our life for my fellow employee, employer, my fellow American, my fellow ancestors, my fellow anybody.
Amen.
Because the love of God has got a hold of me in such a deep and profound way. Then verse 17 says, but whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother who hath need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How does the love of God dwell inside of someone that shuts up their bowels of compassion? I understand John was writing and referring here to monetary things, but how much the more should it be of conscious spiritual application? I understand there was a situation here while I was gone where somebody was begging for money at the front door. Some of y'all gave some money to them. But none of you brought them in and say, let me introduce you to Jesus. We're going to have a prayer meeting before you get anything monetary.
Right.
Because Peter and John were going to church.
Right.
And the one that was begging said, come on inside.
Right.
Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give we unto you. Let me tell you what you really need is, I know church is already over and you should have been in there while we were praying. But since you weren't, we're going to go back in for a prayer meeting before you get anything. Because Jesus can turn your life around. I know you said you're a Christian. I know you said this and that. But I'm going to show you something that you don't have.
Right.
And really what we do when we just give them money is we keep them in their handicap.
Right.
Yeah.
We keep them in their handicap when you give them money instead of saying, silver and gold have I none. But let me tell you what Jesus can do for you. There used to be a time where I didn't have nothing, but I gave my life to Christ and he turned it all around. And I got a good job. And my wife has a job. He put my family back together. He put a roof over my head. He put shoes on my feet. He put clothes on my back. He gave me a good time, God. That's what God can do for you. You don't have to beg for money. God can give you more than any of us can do. I don't care how much money we would have given that man. He still would have been a beggar. But how many of you can testify today that when God stepped into your world, you're better off today than you've ever been before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, some of you ought to be on your feet saying, what they need more than anything. You know what?
Somebody else's money.
Right.
Here you go, sis. Sold my business because I wasn't making any money. One year I made $5,000, next year I made $7,000 that year, and another year I made $8,000. I finally said, this is crazy. I sold my business to another man in the church, and that next year he made $40,000. Well, he's got a businessman here, and no, I don't think that's what it was. God was not letting me get comfortable. But in that 1 year, I had 3 cars given to me. I penciled it out. There was no way I could have paid all my bills. But somehow, all my bills were paid. I remember when my socks and my t-shirts and my underwear were wore out. And somebody guessed my size. And big package of socks in my car, package of underwear, and a package of t-shirts, and a whole bunch of groceries. And it was that Sunday morning that I took my tithe, and I told my wife, I said, God only knows what we have. We have nothing in the cupboard. And I paid my tithes and my offerings. I said, because God, this is honoring you. This is being obedient to you. In some way, somehow, you're going to make a way.
Right.
And I went out to that car. And I saw all the groceries. I saw all the stuff. And it was a time when God had stripped me down to nothing.
stripped down to nothing, really. But I want to do your will more than I want anything. God, you only know I want your will more than anything in my life.
Yes, Lord.
And I hope today in the feebleness of my flesh and my humanity and my inability, I hope that somebody I've delivered to somebody here today. I hope today that the Word of God has convicted you some way, somehow, that it will change your thinking. It'll change the way you live. It'll change everything about you. We need a revival of the love of God.
Oh, Jesus.
More than we need anything. He ends right here and says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I know we've already been in the sanctuary for quite some time. I have delivered my soul, delivered my heart, delivered the word of the Lord to you today. And is there anybody that would be honest with themselves and be able to say, my love has waxed cold. I don't love like I should. I don't love like I should. There's a deficit in my heart that I have become very self-centered, selfish. I've let my natural man get the best of me. Is there anybody that needs a personal revival of love? Has your love waxed cold? Have the masses just become nameless individuals? The place on your job, is it just Fred and Sally and George and Mike and Sue? And are they just a name, but they don't mean anything to you? Have you really, I want you to be honest with yourself, have you really said, I've reached out, I've loved, I've had compassion that there's even some that are here in the church today that they need some of your love. They need some of your care. They need some of your attention. They want to know that they're important. They want to know that they're needed. They want to know that they're loved. Have we been so caught up in our own iniquity, in our own self-will, that we've forgotten how to love? There's many of us here that we love one another here in the church, but can you love somebody that's unlovable? Can you really lay down your life? Can you really submit your life and lay it down for somebody else that may not love you back? God baptizes here this morning. Maybe there's somebody you feel like you need to go wrap your arm around this morning and pray for them and let them know, brother, I love you. I'm praying for you. Let them know, sister, I love you. I haven't reached out to you like I should. Maybe you don't even need to go through that discourse, but somebody, God's putting somebody on your heart right now, and you're reaching out to them and saying, I love you. I'm praying for you. Will you pray for me? Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for one another. Will you reach to somebody else? And maybe you're the one that's saying, I can't right now, Pastor. I can't reach to nobody else. I'm so messed up. It's all right. You can be messed up. You can be full of mistakes. But God's grace and God's love is here today to say, neither do I condemn thee. Come on, get back up. Sin no more. Come on, I got a work for you to do. I got people for you to love. I got a society. I got a community. I got a group of people that I've got in store for you to reach, for you to minister to, for you to minister grace and love to. Come on, everybody in this house, everybody in this house. Everybody, let me appeal to everybody today. We need to be baptized for the love of God. We need to be baptized with grace and mercy. Come on, there's a sinner on your job that doesn't know Jesus, that needs you. There's a drunk on the street that needs your voice. I have no man to help me. There's a city of 19,000 that doesn't have a shepherd. There's a city of 10,000 that doesn't have a shepherd. There's a city of 3,000 that doesn't have a shepherd. There's another city of 19,000 plus that doesn't have a shepherd. But Pastor, I'm not really a preacher, but you can teach a Bible study, can't you? You can love them, can't you? You can pray for them, can't you? I can turn my plate over and fast. I can do that. Whatever I can do, God put a love back in me. I see it's the last days. I see it's the last days. You're getting ready to come back. There's great turmoil in the earth. But God, your love is greater. Your love is greater. It can pierce the darkness. It can save the wretched soul. God, use me. Come on, somebody, it's time to pray right now. Come on, I need somebody to pray. I need to pray, warriors, to pray. I need you to pray. You may say, well, I'm not a prayer warrior, Pastor. Well, today's a good day to be one. Today's a good day to be one. Because all of heaven is looking in today. All of heaven is looking in today. Come on, don't be selfish today. Spread the love of God. Spread the love of God to your brother. Spread the love of God to your sister. Spread the love of God to these young people. Don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered today, but pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. God, your word has convicted my heart. Your word has convicted me today. Your word has convicted me and cut me to the core. I'm going to do something about it. God, I know I've made commitment before, and I have waffled, and I have failed, and I have messed up miserably. But God, I'm making another commitment to you today. I'm going to do better. I'm going to walk after you as you desired. Come on. Come on. Come on, I see too many of you. You're still being selfish and self-centered. You ain't praying for nobody. Come on, I mean what I'm saying. You need to find somebody to pray with. You need to find somebody to pray with. You need to find somebody to pray with right now.